And turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament book of Philippians, chapter 3, beginning first of all at verse 7, and then we'll be moving to James, chapter 4, verse 8. Our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 631 of your pew Bibles. Philippians, chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Pray with me this morning. As we examine this text with this thought in mind, a closer walk with God. A closer walk with God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. I'd like to call your attention to a scene that we have all observed. Those of you who are mothers have actually done it, but those of us who aren't mothers have seen it. Do you recall the scene of a baby crying? And when the mother takes the baby up in her arms to comfort the baby, she lays the baby on her breast, and the baby stops crying. Do you know why that works so wonderfully nearly every time? It's because that baby lying on his mother's breast, here's that heartbeat that he heard for those first 9 months when he was waiting to make his entrance into the world. That heartbeat that was always there, so close and so comforting. That heartbeat that told him that there was someone greater close by that loved him immensely and that was supplying his every need. Babies hear that heartbeat and know that they are close to the one who loves them beyond measure. The heart of every baby desires to be close to the heart of his mother. The soul of man desires a closeness with his creator. The emptiness and purposelessness that plagues so many people in our world and our society is caused by a secret longing of the soul to be closer to God and not knowing how to satisfy that longing. Adam and Eve had a total closeness with God, but they lost it for themselves and for us through sin. Sin has henceforth separated man from God. Fame, fortune, power, and pleasure, all the things that men and women strive for, none of these satisfy the need for closeness to God that is built into every one of us. Most of the world continues to seek to satisfy that need by looking for love in all the wrong places. They seek to satisfy the need for God with more of the world, and that won't work. That won't work. It's like trying to satisfy your thirst by drinking seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you get. But Jesus came and made the provision for us to walk close to God once again. But even many in the church, even many Christians don't know how to walk that closer walk with God. They know that something's missing, but they don't know how to get it. And how do we achieve that closer walk that our soul so desperately needs? Well, the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians about his walk with God and what it meant to him. And in this text, we find an answer. So let us turn to the text to answer the question of how do we achieve a closer walk with God. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, he said, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." To have a closer walk with God, we must choose to value what God values. We must choose to value what God values. There's a reason why so many people have just a Sunday kind of faith. A faith that shows up on Sunday morning is invisible the rest of the week. The reason is they don't care about the things that God cares about. The things that most people have of greatest concern in their lives are, how can I increase my wealth, my power, my prestige, my security, my pleasure? And that's true, unfortunately, of a lot of folks in the church. They don't mind coming to church and singing the fruit songs and even giving a little money. But the things that are of greatest value in their lives are not the things that God values. God values the deeper things, eternal things. Most people have their values wrapped around temporary things. But God values love, joy, peace, patience, holiness, gentleness, self-control. And if you walk close to God, those are the values that your life should exhibit. They should show up in you if you value God and value the things that God values. These things become important to you, and if you're a friend of God, they'll show up in you. They'll show up in you. People who are close friends have a common set of values that they agree upon. Marriages endure long and grow deep when a man and woman share the same values. And when marriages break up, it's because somewhere along the line, one or both of them have started to develop values that's different from one or the other. God wants his values to show up in your life. And the good news is that you don't have to strive and search for those values. If you let God take control of your life, the Holy Spirit will develop those values in you if you let him. If you let him. For example, if the Spirit is beginning to develop patience in your character and you recognize patience as important to God, then you won't allow that next selfish person that you meet to destroy that patience that God has been building up in you. You'd have desire to hold on to that patience. You won't give it up so easily. You'll hold on to the values that you know that are important to God. To be a friend of God, to walk close to him, we must value the things that God values. When you truly begin to walk close to God, you will value those things that God values more than the things of the world. And that's what Paul did. He said, "I had all the things that the world considers valuable going for me. I had prestige. I had position. I had power. I had authority. But I gave them all up to gain a knowledge of Christ." So we need to value what God values. When we value what God values, we draw closer to him. But there's more that we need to do. Listen as Paul continues in verse 9 and saying that what he wanted to do is to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. To have a closer walk with God, we must choose to obey God in faith. Choose to obey him in faith. Obedience requires faith. Faith implies trust. We must learn to trust God. We need to trust and obey his word even when we don't understand where he's leading us. When we trust God's righteousness and not our own, we're able to obey him speedily because we don't have to doubt and to wonder what God is up to. If we trust him, we just obey and let God take care of the outcome. That's not blind faith. That's loving faith. Our faith is anchored in the knowledge that God loves us and that whatever he does in our lives will be for our benefit. If you trust God, you'll know that in your heart. Everything that God does in your life, he will work for your good and not for your ill. We trust God because he loves us. We obey God because we love him. Jesus said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You cannot claim that you love the Lord and then walk contrary to everything that he's told you to do. You just can't do that. But if you love him, you will determine in your heart that you will walk in obedience to his word. When you do that, great things will start to happen in your life. When you make up your mind to obey the Lord, he'll start to open doors for you that you didn't know existed. Look, for example, at the story of Joseph back in the book of Genesis. Joseph was the 11th of Jacob's 12 sons. But the 10 older brothers hated Joseph because Jacob loved Joseph more. And they could tell that. So they sold Joseph into slavery in Egypt. Joseph ended up in an Egyptian prison accused of a crime that he did not commit. But Joseph remained faithful to God. And God gave Joseph the ability to interpret dreams. And so when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream about the upcoming worldwide famine, Pharaoh made him second in command of all Egypt. So when the famine came, there was food only in Egypt. And Joseph was able to save his entire family, the entire nation of Israel, because God had placed him in a position of power because of his faithfulness. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. If you walk close to God, you must obey him in faith. When we obey God, we draw closer to him. Nothing draws us closer to God than obedience to his word. But there's still more we need to consider. Listen to what Paul tells us about the sincerity of his walk with God, beginning in verse 10. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. To have a closer walk with God, we must choose to be honest with God. We must choose to be honest with God. To walk close to God, we don't need to claim that we're already perfect. God knows our condition anyway, so it's foolish to try to fool God. He knows that he's not finished with us yet. God just wants us to be honest with him. The Lord places a high regard on honesty. Look at the scriptures. God never struck anyone down for talking back to him or arguing with him or even accused him of being unfair and unjust. Abraham argued with God, so did Moses. Job stood up in God's face and demanded an answer for all the suffering that he had to endure. And God didn't strike Job down. He answered Job, and when God was finished talking, Job repented in sackcloth and ashes. But he had had the opportunity to pour his heart out to God, and God wants us to do that. Jeremiah pointed his finger at God and said, you tricked me. You placed me in this ministry, and now everyone hates me for preaching your word. He said, I'm not going to preach your word anymore. And God didn't say anything. He just waited as to say, how's that working for you, Jeremiah, not preaching my word? And Jeremiah says, like fire shut up in my bones. I don't want to preach, but I have to. You're too powerful for me. God just let Jeremiah lament. He didn't strike him down for complaining. God never does. He wants us to come in honesty, lay out the things that we have on our heart before him. But we do have a record in the Bible of God did strike two folks down in the book of Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira were struck down for lying to God. You need to be honest with God, even when you think he has let you down. And God has never let anyone down, but sometimes it feels like he has let us down when bad things are happening in our lives and we start to question if God really loves us. You need to take that feeling to God in prayer and let him set you straight. Truth is very important to God. We need to learn to walk truthfully with God. And that's why we need to learn how to pray. Prayer time is not the time when we go to God with our shopping list. Prayer time is the time of our personal private communication with our Creator. Prayer time is the time that we lay before the Lord all of our doubts, all of our cares, all of our burdens, all of our worries, all of our disappointments, all of the things that burden our hearts. And we need to bring all these things before the Lord. Let him show us how to change our focus from our troubles to our blessings. He'll do that for us. But we need to bring these things to him. Don't be like the hypocrite, praising God with your lips, but holding resentment in your heart for the hurts that you've endured. To walk closely with God, we must choose to be honest with him. When we bear our souls before the Lord in honest prayer, we draw close to him. But we need to seek to do more and more of that, seek to get closer yet to him. Listen as Paul concludes in verse 13 and 14. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. To have a closer walk with God, we must choose to seek God's fellowship above all else. Above all else. We must be passionate about our walk with the Lord. God does not want a casual relationship with his children. God wants his fellowship with us to be a passionate relationship. So many people acknowledge God, but they don't want him to get too close. They don't want to change their lifestyles. They want to keep God at arm's length until they need something, and then they cry out, Lord, have mercy. But God wants the relationship to be close and passionate. We should get excited about serving God. We should get excited about living for Him. But sometimes it gets easy for us to get into a rut in our walk with God. We go through the motions, but we have no passion for the things of God. If that's where you are now, then more than likely you're looking in the wrong direction. You're looking backward at what you could have done and still looking forward to what God is going to do. Look at the text once again. Verse 13 says, Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God wants you to press on. He is the one who has mapped out your journey. God wants you to press on. He has great things planned for you. God wants you to press on. He's already prepared your place at His table. God wants you to press on. He has a great feast waiting for you. God wants you to press on. If you want to draw near to God, just keep stepping forward and you discover that James was right. When you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. But the amazing thing about God, the reason that we can sing about His amazing grace is because once God draws us close, He will not let us go. God made that promise throughout the scriptures. In the Old Testament, God told Jacob, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus told the disciples and the church, Behold, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. But Paul, writing in the book of Romans, gives us the most comforting statement about the closeness of God that is our eternal security. In Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 35, he says, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, For your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep of the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once you draw close to God, nothing can tear you away from Him. Don't you want to draw close to God? The Bible says, draw near unto God and He will draw near unto you. So what does that mean to you? It means that you will have choices as you walk through this life. It means you need to get into the habit of choosing God. We face these choices every day. We need to learn to choose God. Whenever you have a choice between a lie and the truth, you need to choose God. When you ever have a choice between fear and faith, you need to choose God. Whenever you have a choice between love and hatred, you need to choose God. Whenever you have a choice between vengeance and forgiveness, you need to choose God. Whenever you have a choice between living large and living for the Lord, you need to choose God. Now what? Well, you never get close to God until you get close to Jesus. Jesus told us why that's true in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the first step in making God your choice is to receive His Son as your Savior. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. In just a moment, I'm going to have an altar call. If you want to dedicate your life or rededicate your life to Jesus, you need to come and answer that call. For those who have already received Christ, but you don't feel like your walk with Him is as close as it should be, you need to come with a yielded heart and ask God to take full control. Ask Him to come close and to linger near. And He'll do that. The Bible says, draw near unto God, and He will draw near unto you. That's your case when the call is given. You come. Come to the altar of God, all who desire prayer. The doors of God's church are open.